10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Tonight, Psalm 1, God's description of a happy Christian. How many of you are happy tonight? Let's see your hand. Well, that's most of you. God bless you. I want you to listen to the words of Psalm 1 after we pray. Father, how grateful we are for the happiness, the peace, the contentment, the joy that we know in Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a blessed thing it is to gather on Wednesday night in your house to study your word, to fellowship together, to listen, to learn, to be taught, to be inspired, to be challenged, to be exhorted in the things of Christ. While the world is trying to enjoy entertainment, while many church members have very little concern about what's happening at their church, we thank you for these who are here tonight, turning aside from a busy schedule, coming out of hot offices and jobs and factories and off the street and out of the classroom and into the sanctuary. I pray that it would be worth our while and profitable tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. With thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Psalm 1 says, blessed, and watch that word, blessed. It has a multiplicity of meanings, as we'll see. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1 is just one of 150 songs or hymns or poems, and it is a very short one. It's to the point. But what it lacks in length, it makes up in strength. The psalmist details more truth, discovers more wonderful things in 6 short verses than all the philosophers of Greece in their multitudinous volumes of their classical works, dating from Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, Zeno, and all the rest. Socrates can't touch it. Aristotle can't match it. Plato can't equal it. It is a description of the happy man written by a man who was full of the Holy Spirit and inspired of God. That's the way it is with the Bible. Now look again at that word happy by way of introduction. The word happy means cheerful. The word blessed in verse 1. Happy, cheerful, contented. The best definition, the best and fullest meaning is the word hilarious. There's something hilarious about being a Christian. The Bible says, and it's the same word used here in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Paul says, don't give to God of necessity or grudgingly, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Oh, and by the way, he'll take it from an old sorehead, but he loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful means blessed or happy or hilarious. Now, here's the way the average Christian gives in the offering. Well, the preacher's at it again. How about God? The devil's crowd can do that. Just go ahead and give on an impulse once in a while. It may scare you to death, but God knows how to make it up. Here's the way we ought to give. Wonderful. Wonderful. I have an opportunity to give to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul meant. God loveth an hilarious giver. Hilarious is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Word of God. What's your delight in tonight? You delight in home videos? By the way, what we would not dare go to a movie house to see, we sit back and sip our Coors. Hello? And watch it at home in the convenience of our living rooms and dens. Things that we condemned 10 years ago, we embrace tonight. May God help us. Blessed, happy, contented is that man. Hilarious is that man who delights in the law of the Lord. My message again entitled God's Description of a Happy Christian. Number one, let's look at the public life of the happy man. By the way, when people observed your attitude, your actions, your demeanor, your conduct, your conversation, your reactions on the job today, what kind of impression did they get of Jesus Christ? How do they feel about church, Christianity, the Bible, the Lord Jesus, God, heaven, the Christian way, watching, observing, listening to you? What about your public life? The happy man rejects the advice of wicked men. Shame on us. When we're in a tight, when we're in trouble, when we have heartaches or problems or difficulties or trials or heartaches or distresses or discouragements, when we turn to the world for advice. That's what a lot of Christians are doing. I mean, sometimes Christians will go to the most foul-mouthed man on the job and ask him, what do you think I ought to do about so-and-so? He has no idea what you ought to do about so-and-so. You go and ask somebody who doesn't go to church, who doesn't read the Bible, who doesn't know Jesus Christ, what you ought to do in your life, that's nonsense. The happy man in his public life rejects the advice of wicked men. He doesn't try to get his wisdom from below. He gets his wisdom from above. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, the wisdom from below is of the earth, earthy, sensual, devilish. That's what James says. But the wisdom from above is pure, gentle, easy to be entreated, without hypocrisy and without partiality. Where do you get your advice? Who are you looking to? Who are you depending on? This happy Christian refuses to stand in the way of sinners. Now get the meaning here. That doesn't mean that he doesn't get out here and stand in their way so they can't get from this point to that point. That doesn't mean that at all. It means he does not identify with them. He does not associate with them. He does not cast lots with them. He does not fraternize with them or socialize with them. In fact, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I'll be your God and you'll be my children. Now let's be careful how we get carried away on what is called lifestyle evangelism. That if we're going to win a guy who's drinking beer, we got to go out and drink beer with him. That's nonsense. If we're going to win young people listening to rock music, we're going to have to listen to rock music. That's crazy. That's twisted thinking. Even so-called Christian rock. By the way, there's no such thing as Christian rock. You wouldn't say Christian pornography, would you? Or Christian drugs, would you? How inconsistent can we be? There's no such thing as Christian rock. And if you have some in your home, get up right now. Don't even wait till church is over and go home and get rid of it. I'll excuse you. I know you don't want to tell on yourself, so just wait till after church is over and do it. Oh, somebody said, but they have such wonderful words. Doesn't matter what the lyrics are. It's not the lyric, it's the tune. It's the music that damns the soul. The so-called music. I call it religious racket. A lot of that's going on in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Jesus-only, red-letter edition, King James Version churches. To our disgrace. He does not identify or associate or fraternize with sinners. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. Happy, hilarious, blessed, contented is the man that walketh not after the wisdom of the world or the counsel of the ungodly, nor associates or stands in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean, preacher? That means he refrains from scornfully judging others, criticizing others. Doesn't take a lot of brain to be a critic. Anybody can criticize. Scorners are masters of deceit. They are doctors of damnation. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, thou art inexcusable, O man, whomsoever thou that judgest, for in that thou judgest, thou art guilty of the same. Plain English, isn't it? Somebody says, well, I just can't understand the Bible. Well, I know you've got to have a spiritual mind to understand the Bible. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. What did Jesus say? Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Jesus tells us about the fellow who went around trying to get the little tiny mote. You know what a mote is? It's just a little small speck. Here's a man who has a little mote in his eye. It dims his vision. And here comes a man down the street that's got a cross tie, railroad cross tie in his eye. And he says to the fellow who's got the mote, bud, get that mote out of your eye. And Jesus said, now wait. You get the beam out of your eye. You say, but they didn't have railroad ties when Jesus was on earth. But that's what he's talking about. Something that big. You get the beam out of your own eye, get your own life straightened up, get your own walk with God right, start tithing like you ought to tithe and praying like you ought to pray and winning souls like you ought to win and going to church like you ought to go to church. Then you can help the other fella. Judge not that you be not judged. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now let's review. The public life of the happy man, he rejects the advice of ungodly, wicked men. He refuses to identify himself with sinners. And he refrains from scornfully criticizing or judging others. Now let's look at his private life. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, don't raise your hand, but have you read any of the scripture today before you got here tonight? Oh, you say, but Pastor, you don't understand my schedule. Maybe I don't. But I know one thing. If you get up in time, you can do it. And if you go to bed in time, I mean, pass up the late show one night. You'll feel better the next morning. A fellow said to me not long ago, one of my preacher friends, about staying awake through the news. And I said, you mean 10 o'clock news? He said, no, I mean 6 o'clock news. Folks, we have time to do everything else we want to do, don't we? How long did you read the newspaper this morning? Or your favorite magazine story? Dare I say anything about the soap opera? Hello? How much time does it take to read a chapter in God's Word? You can read the whole Bible if you started through in 70 hours, the whole thing through. I don't have time to read the Scripture, preacher. You don't know my schedule. Well, I suggest you ought to change your schedule. Kind of reminds me of the fella, and I've told this story, but I enjoy telling it, so I'm going to tell it again. Fellow that attended church, and when he made $50 a week, boy, every week he gave $5, his tithe, and then some above. Then he got a raise and started making $100 a week, and he gave $10 and then some above. Then he got a raise and made $250 a week, and he gave $25 and some above. Then he got a raise and made $500 a week, and he gave $50 a week and some above. Then he started missing church. He's now at $1,000 a week income. Started missing church. I said last Sunday in my Sunday school lesson, I want to repeat it here, more people have been ruined by prosperity than ever been ruined by poverty. Poverty doesn't ruin people. It's prosperity when we forget God. So the man just kept on missing, and the pastor went to his home and said to him, Brother John, may have been Jack or Jim or Joe. So if your name's John, don't take offense, but if the shoe fits, you wear it. Said, now, Brother John, I notice you're missing church. I remember, Brother John, when you made $50 a week, and every week you gave $5 and more. And I remember when God blessed you and you made $100 a week and you gave $10 and more. And I remember, Brother John, when you made $250 a week and you gave $25 and more. And I remember, John, when you made $50 a week, you made $500 a week and you gave $50 or more. Now I understand you're making $1,000, you haven't been to church in 4 or 5 weeks. Brother John, what's the matter? Why don't you tithe anymore? Oh, he said, Pastor, it's like this. When I made $50 a week, I could afford to tithe. When I made $100, I could afford, or $250. But now making $1,000 a week, my income is so high, I just can't afford to tithe. Pastor smiled, said, John, well, I'll help you with that. He said, let's get down here and pray. So they got down. Dear Lord, you remember when John made $50 a week? You remember when John... Now John's making too much money to tithe. Lord, would you please decrease it? Oh, no, he said, no, don't pray that. I'll be back Sunday. Don't ask God to decrease my income. Well, he ought to if you don't tithe. Hello? I'm just talking to you about plain ABC, happy, Christian, overcoming, successful life. The private life of the happy man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, now somebody said, well, that's the Old Testament, and I guess we ought to do it. Well, you want to do away with Psalm 23? That's Old Testament. Let's just do away with Psalm 1. That's Old Testament. Somebody said, the law, the tithing and giving is over there under the law. But wait, under grace, we do far more than under the law. What does the private man do? First, he delights in the word of God. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word became the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word of God, the law of God, not under the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, but we're in the law of God. And the law of God is in us, written not on tables of stone, but in tables of flesh in our very hearts. He delights in the word of God. He meditates in the word of God day and night. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect thing. I read in Job 23:12 where he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How many of us missed a meal today to read the Word of God? We feed our physical and starve our spiritual. So we're walking around like spiritual skeletons. No meat on the bone. Psalm 119 and 148 says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Now, I don't do this very often. Personal reference. A lot of people have asked me, Pastor, how is it that you've memorized so much of the Word of God? I've never said this in 33 years as your pastor. I don't sleep much at night. I sleep a little while and I wake up a little while. And I could not, and please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. I really hesitate to say it. But many a night, hour after hour, I'm reciting the Word of God upon my bed. That's how it happens. It doesn't come automatically. I'm not any smarter than you are. Well, Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Psalm 119:140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Psalm 119:162, I rejoice that thy word is one that findeth great spoil. Psalm 119:165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you get offended at everything the preacher says, you got a problem. Psalm 119:174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. The Word of God is food for the hungry. It's water for the thirsty. It's strength for the weak. It's hope for the hopeless. It's help for the helpless. It's a road map for the lost. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Private life, public life. Next time, we'll talk about the position of the happy Christian. Well, our time is gone.